Thank you for listening to this episode of Courtside Indiana podcast. Please hit the subscribe or add button on your podcast app to get them delivered straight to your phone, tablet, or desktop. As always, we'd appreciate a rating and review, and you can reach us directly on our Courtside Indiana Twitter at CourtsideIND. Welcome to Courtside Indiana podcast. I am Jim Reamer. We have recorded multiple episodes this week, so if you're listening to this one first, this is going to be the class of 2025 breakout players. This is also going to be the episode where we get a recruiting update. The other episode we produce is going to be the final week of the Metro Indy Basketball Fall League, week four. We talk about some of the better teams that we saw this week and some standout players that were kind of new to each of us. Mason Asher joins us on that podcast. On this podcast, Patrick Woolley from Southern Indiana, mostly the southeast side of the state, joins Kyler Staley, Dominic Neely, and myself as we talk about the class of 2025. But first, let's get a recruiting update. Starting with senior offers, Cody Clancy, wing from Scottsburg, picked up an offer from Indiana IU East in Richmond. Tucker Day, a forward from Fort Wayne Canterbury, picked up an offer from Goshen. Jason Hart, picked up from Fort Wayne Snyder, picked up an offer from Earlham. Teray Howell, a wonderful point guard from Evansville-Bossy, picked up an offer from Purdue Northwest. That's a Division II school, for those who aren't keeping track at home. Drew Kagaris from Roncalli, picked up an offer from Judson and NAIA school. Isaac Schultz from, we'll get to that in a minute. Kamon Washington from Park Tudor picked up an offer from Albion, also offered by Albion this week. Eugene Young. Juniors, Trey Singleton from Jeffersonville picked up an offer from Indiana State. Indiana State also offered Brady Kohler, a junior forward from Cathedral. And Brady also picked up an offer from Wake Forest. We talk a little bit about both those guys' recruiting situations, where they might fit in the mid-major, high-major realm later in the podcast. We've recorded this sort of at different times. So listen, and you'll get a chance to hear us talk about that, so we won't break it down that much here at the moment when we normally do. Sophomore guard from Pike, Dejon Hall, picked up an offer from Wisconsin. He's now at Pike. He was a transfer from Tinley. And Ethan Roseman picked up an offer from Holy Cross, the NAIA school near Notre Dame. That's the sophomore guard from Bishop Chatard. Two commitments this week. Isaac Schultz, as I started to say earlier, from Adams Central, picked up an offer or had committed to Olivet Nazarene. And then Cannon Hauser, senior wing from Carroll, committed to Grace. And, so some of our takeaways on the recruiting side of this. It's funny, we talked about Singleton and Kohler later in the pod about where they fit in from a recruiting standpoint. Ethan Roseman, the offer from Holy Cross, it's interesting because it's good to see NAIA schools be aggressive. In the past, we've seen that's been rewarded. So kudos to Coach McBride up at Holy Cross for getting involved with a kid that we think is going to be, a really good high school player and a chance to have a good college career. I think that situations like that, if Roseman's recruiting doesn't raise up a level or two as he progresses through high school, a lot of times those guys will sort of gravitate toward the first school that were on board with them at a certain level. So it pays to be aggressive. So it was good to see Holy Cross getting involved in that situation. All right. So coming up next, we are going to be discussing on this pod the class of 2025 breakout players. The other podcast that we published this week, if you get a chance to check that out, is a week four of the Metro Indy Basketball Fall League, where we recap the whole league. We talk about some of the teams we liked, and we also talk about some players that we didn't know much about necessarily who stood out in our minds. Thank you for listening.
Discovery, go and throttle up.
All right, we are now joined by from who? You know, I need to get this preposition thing figured out. Patrick Woolley from Southeast Indiana. Where do you live, Patrick?
I'm in Madison, Indiana. That's probably okay. Kind of in between Louisville, Cincinnati, maybe about an hour and 40 from Indy.
And there's no easy way to get there from here.
No, but I can get pretty much wherever within, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours.
The first hour of that is getting to 65.
Yeah, I've drove that many times.
Yes, I know. Yeah. The bad thing about, college was dating a girl who went to Hanover. So that was.
That's right down the road.
That is right down the road. Kyler Staley is also still here. Have we decided, Kyler, which order these segments are going to go in?
I don't know. I mean, we don't really need to do a formal introduction for me. So
no, we don't. We've already recorded a segment of the fourth week of the fall league. I think that's going to be first on the podcast. So we are now doing our second segment of this podcast. So Patrick, thanks for coming on. You're going to give us a little extra Southern Indiana feel to this list, I think. But we're gonna have some fighting words here in a minute because we don't know. We can't agree on what a breakout candidate is. My idea of a breakout candidate is somebody who did not produce big numbers at the varsity level last year, let alone maybe even play at the varsity level last year, who we think is going to be viable. You guys disagree, right?
At least I do. Yes.
Yeah. I think a kid that most of both disagree. Yeah, a kid that most of the state doesn't know and doesn't have any offers, I feel like that could be a candidate for a breakout, even if he did start last year.
Here's the thing. I don't disagree with what you're saying, Jim. I think yours is pretty obvious. Yes, that's a breakout candidate. Mm-hmm. But I also think you can throw in guys to break out on a grander scale.
Well, there's no right or wrong answer here. What I had in mind was different than what you guys have in mind, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. We'll go on. I'll just sit here and pout and cry, and you guys can continue the pod without me. That's fine. No, I'm kidding. Dominic Neely will join us as soon as he can give his kids enough Benadryl to fall asleep. And did I fire Zach? Did somebody just not tell me that I fired him or what?
No, he hates us. That's what
he hates us.
He's tired of us.
He allegedly gave Dominique some names, and Dominique can't be here. I think at this point that constitutes a conspiracy. We'll get it figured out. Dom should be on here hopefully pretty soon. What's he saying in Slack? We good? Not yet. Zach still has kids that play soccer. Tonight it's a soccer banquet. This is worse than when LaPel won a state championship and like the entire town had a celebration, one business at a time, and we couldn't get Holsinger to an AAU practice to save our life. Which of course didn't specifically matter.
Jim, what year was that? Was that around 06?
No, it was 05. That was 05. And it was the same thing when they won again, like in what was it, 2016 or whatever their second one was. We had a couple of LaPel kids, and so obviously it's a great time for them. I'm just Zach was like 3 weeks ago. I'll be on next week. Don't worry. And each week it's just like more soccer. So
soccer is live.
I will give you guys the floor, Kyler. Since you are a regular, we will let Patrick go first since he's a guest. Plus, that gives him a chance to steal your man crush, your player, your. Player crush is probably a better word, better phrase.
He can have them.
Go ahead, awesome. Patrick. Who's your first breakout candidate? See, now I got to recalibrate my list.
Well, I'm not gonna...
I did all these minutes of research.
Yeah. And I'm not going to take him from you, Kyler, because I know he's your guy. So I'm going to leave him for you. All right.
You said juniors, right? Okay.
Yeah. Go 25s.
On. All right.
Man, that kid. Yeah, a kid that I really like here for breakout this season down south from New Albany, 6'4", 6'5", athletic. He's a football kid also. I believe he plays wide receiver. Chris Lampkins. He put up 17 and 19 on Floyd Central at sectionals. And he's gonna New Albany is a little better than people think. I know Jeffersonville gets a lot of attention down here, that 25 class, but Chris Lampkins, he is a really nice ball player, and I really like him. He can guard multiple positions. He can hit an outside shot every now and then. He is a real sleeper, and I think he could average probably 15 and 10 easy for them this year. Now, I would have liked them a lot better if they would have got Hawkins down here to New Albany, but you know.
I was just at Addicts today.
Yeah.
I don't know what the issue there was. Chris's wife is from the area.
Okay.
And I know, I don't know. It was going to be hard for New Albany to match what Chris had, just because Chris is also the athletics director at Addicts. Plus, I'm not sure I'd leave Addicts now for New Albany, especially with the mess that happened.
Yeah, but there's a lot coming to New Albany here. I mean,
never know what's going to happen. Do they have a head coach yet?
Yeah, they do, and I should know who it is, but he's from out of state.
I was going to say that's the out of state guy. That's why I don't know who it is. Okay.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a real strong 7th and 8th grade. I mean, for whatever that's worth, but I mean, they got some pieces coming.
Sometimes that's why coaches take jobs.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they see what's coming, and it's not always obvious. Like, you know, it wouldn't be even something like Romeo coming through. But I mean, just in general, if you see back to back classes at the middle school level that are really good,
mm-hmm.
you tend to think, okay, that's a good place to go, especially if you're leaving a good situation like what Chris would have left. But yeah, you mentioned Lampkins the other day. I'm anxious to see him at some point. I don't know what the threshold will be to get me down to watch New Albany this year.
They play Kokomo down here.
Yeah, down there, though. I'll see Kokomo 100 times up here. And
well, do they go to Carmel this year? Sometimes they play Carmel.
We haven't played. It's been a couple years since we played them.
Okay.
Since they played them. I hate when I do that. Because I make fun of people when they do it. So
Chris Lampkins, that's my guy.
I know that is your guy. You talked about him the other day. Kyler, let's go.
I'll just get it over with.
Go ahead, do it.
Everyone knows where we're going with it. I'm going with South Ripley's Cole Henry, who Jim does not think should count, but I'm going to count Cole.
Best junior in Southeast Indiana.
Yeah, but
I'm considering New Albany, Southern Indiana.
Okay.
And Jeffersonville, for that matter.
So I obviously probably not going to break out when it comes to a varsity level, but I think he breaks out on a grander scale. This has kind of been, I mean, his game and just him alone has just been trending up, I would say, ever since around this time last year. Finally got on a better, you know, AAU circuit, played with KGE and everything, which really helped him get exposed a little bit, I think, to a wider audience. But I think this year he puts up really, really good numbers. He'll put up better numbers than what he did last year. That's probably a fact, but Cole, I think he's trending upwards. You have a versatile big, pretty much a modern day power forward that you would see at any level, really. So can stretch the floor, really aggressive around the basket and everything. So as people know, I'm a big Cole Henry guy, big Cole Henry fan, and I think he's going to break out. This will be the year. This will be kind of the nail in the coffin where he kind of really shows that he is legit. On just a wider scale.
Now, can I throw in here something real quick about Cole?
You're really mixing your metaphors there. You just said something good.
Yeah, I know.
Said nail in the coffin.
I know. I couldn't think of anything. That's the final straw. How about that? I don't know.
There you go. The final piece of the puzzle. How about that?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Now, we brought Cole onto our AAU team back in 7th grade when I first saw him play. And I've known his dad for a while. We went to the same school together. And dad's about 6'6", mom's 6 foot plus. And I thought, this is a good investment. This kid, you know, he's a little raw right now, but he's going to be good if he puts it all together. and he has been putting it together. He's really come along strong.
All right. There's a couple guys that I guess we probably will save to see if Dominique gets a chance to hop on during this part. So I'll stick with Central Indiana right now. I'll move our way around the state. I'm going to throw out two names though. I'm stealing. If we have no rules, then we got no rules. Two names right now, both. And these are guys going to be from the same school. Drew Snively, McGuire Mitchell, both from Zionsville. Both will both had key roles as varsity players last year, especially from the outside, both providing cover for Reek Hart and Logan Imes. You know, being able to shoot the ball as well as they have, I think they're both going to have huge roles this year because they're the only ones back. And I know Zionsville felt like they had a good young group of kids, and they might get some bolstering from a couple of sophomores and a freshman guard this year. But for the most part, they're going to rely heavily on Snively and McGuire Mitchell. Snively's 6'4". He already has a number of offers or a couple of offers. Let's double check to make sure we know which ones those are. I want to say one of them is Eastern Illinois, but I'm not. One of them is Western Carolina. And the other one is Illinois State. Illinois State assistant Andrew Dockich, of course, was the key piece in that equation. So he's got those two Division I offers. McGuire Mitchell doesn't have that kind of recruiting clout yet. Both those guys are going to be key figures for Zionsville. Your turn, Patrick.
All right. I'm going to ask you about this guy, but I know I've heard some things. I've seen him maybe not enough, but I really like his potential. Luke Linderman over there at Bloomington North.
Yeah.
I think with JQ graduating, I think somebody over there needs to step up. And I think they've got a pretty solid team again this year. And I think he's going to step up for them. I mean, he's got good genes. I mean, we all know who his dad is. I mean, he's
true
at IU, and I think he's was he 6'4", 6'5"? How tall is he now?
He is. But when dad's 7 foot, you kind of wonder sometimes.
Well, you know, that means room to grow. Maybe he's got another good growth spurt in him.
We hope.
Yep.
No, that's not fair. That's you know, the question usually is, how tall is mom?
Yeah, and for boys, that's true.
Yeah, for boys, yeah, absolutely. And it's as someone who coached a kid who was 3 inches shorter than his dad, of course, he was still 7'1". His dad was 7'4". So I'd say it's okay that Derek Smith was 3 inches shorter than 3 inches shorter than his dad. But yeah, Lindemann is definitely not the same build as dad is. But he's a different player altogether, different kind of player for sure.
I think when it's said and done, I mean, do you think he could slide into D1, a mid-major?
I mean, no, I don't know. I've not seen – have any of us seen him offensively, like what he's capable of doing yet?
I've only seen him once, and it wasn't the best performance, so I can't judge right now.
I think a lot of his game up to now – obviously just in a supporting role is, and if I'm dead wrong on this and somebody from Bloomington wants to send me some nasty emails or nasty DMs or whatever, that's, I'll take the heat. That's fine. I think a lot of it has just been a good role player, being physical, being sort of a tweener forward, but there's no question he's going to have a bigger year this year.
Well, that's a true breakout then, because yeah, I'm not sure if he,
see, that's a
I'm
kid.
Not sure if he played varsity last year.
He did. No, he did. We get back to the original point of the little discussion at the beginning of the podcast. I think that's definitely a kid in my mind who would be the breakout kind of player. And, you know, somebody who just is, and a lot of it is graduation. By graduation, is going to have to assume a larger role. But I really don't mind the direction we're going with this. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Good talk. So, all right, Kyler.
All right, I'm going to go with a guy around here, around the Fishers area. Actually goes to Fishers. I'm
gonna go. You're stealing another one.
I was going with the next.
So you...
I was too.
Wait, we might not be thinking of the same guy. Justin Kirby.
That's who we're all thinking about. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So I'm going to go with Justin Kirby. I'm going to steal him. Feel free to add on anything that I forget, guys. But yeah, he just super athletic guard, right? 6'3", around that height. I felt like he kind of caught some attention at the Fishers College Combine a few weeks ago, last month or whenever that was. Got the Eastern Illinois offer. I think that's the only Division I offer he has right now.
It is.
But he showed out at the Fall League too. There was one game he had like 25 points. He might have had a couple of games like that, I remember. But yeah, I mean, he's just physically gifted. Super athletic, and get to the rim and everything. You know, the next thing for him is going to be, getting a consistent jumper. That's what I see. But I mean, with Jalen Harrelson not there, there's a lot of opportunity for a lot of guys to really step up on Fishers this year. And I think Justin Kirby is going to be that guy at the end of the day.
Let me ask you, how does he compare to a kid like Cedric Horton over there at Richmond?
For one, it's thicker.
Yeah,
I know they're both very athletic.
He's much stronger.
I'd say Cedric's a lot. I wouldn't say a lot, but I think he's quicker.
Oh, so. Somebody just popped in. Dominique's here. Good. So we saved all the Fort Wayne players for Dominique.
I'm back.
Kids are asleep.
Barely.
For the record, you didn't drug him, correct?
I did not drug
them. Okay, because I might have implied that you were trying to do that at the beginning of the podcast. So,
no.
Cannot be used against you. Okay. I did mention Benadryl as being a possibility. So,
sometimes if they got runny noses or something, sometimes maybe, but. No.
I'm losing the battle on what a breakout player is, but it's still good. It's still good talk. So, we're all right.
Cool. I got a nice list, especially the ones that Zach sent me. I got a long list, so I don't know if who you guys talked about, but
we've just gotten through Kyler's name too, Patrick's name too. I've named two, but I named my two at the same time. So if you want to go, wait, Patrick or Kyler, were you done with your?
Yeah, I was done. Yeah.
No, I don't know that we were. We mentioned because Kyler likes this guy too, or Kyler. You are Kyler. Dominique likes this guy too. I think we've talked about it in the past. Justin Kirby's who's up for discussion now. And then Patrick wanted to compare him to Taylor Horton. Cedric Horton from Richmond. I don't know. I want to see Kirby's. Somebody mentioned his jump shot. I want to see that jump shot. I want to see it be more consistent. Again, that's the difference between Richmond needing Horton as a kid that played a lot as a freshman, a kid that was obviously played a big role as a sophomore, and Kirby not really getting much a super opportunity until now. But the athleticism is there. Kirby, I think is thicker. And, how his skill set translates to scouting, game planning, things of that nature. We're going to find out. Because again, no Harrelson, lots of changes since July. So schematically, at least in the head of Coach Weiniger, and where it goes from there, we'll see. Because some of that stuff you can't simulate until you actually get into games. But that will be one of the kids we'll take a look at the very onset of the season. Anything to add there, Dom?
I did have Kirby down on my list as well. I have some Fort Wayne area kids. I also have some Indianapolis area kids. So
I don't know. Why don't you go ahead and go? I've named two, and we're not even. If you couldn't get on, I was going to throw some Fort Wayne names out there eventually, but
yeah,
not that you have to throw all Fort Wayne names.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the ones I've had. I don't know if you guys have mentioned Drew Snively.
Mm-hmm. So far we've talked about Drew Snively, McGuire Mitchell. We've talked about Cole Henry. We've talked about Lampkins. What's Lampkins' first name again? I'm sorry.
Chris.
Chris Lampkins from New Albany. Then we talked about Justin Kirby. And who was your second one?
Linderman.
Linderman, the younger.
Bloomington North.
Yeah, Todd Lindemann's son. So that's catching you up.
Okay. Another one from Indianapolis, Poppy Rivera from North Central.
Yeah.
I think he'll last year when I seen him play up at Carroll, he came off the bench, played really well. Did he play off the bench a lot last year? Or?
I don't. Yeah, we had that discussion. How many times have we had that discussion on here? We've probably talked about it. Oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 times at least. The games I saw, I started. The games you saw, I didn't.
Okay.
I think they've had a lot of depth, and they vary their roster, they vary their starting lineup, I would imagine, based on ebbs and flows of the season, maybe even who they were playing.
Right. And I had also had Nigel Jewell down as well in North Central. Both of them, I think, will be, along with Jackson Bell, I think they'll be, you know, their top three guys. So I think Poppy will probably step into a bigger role along with Nigel Jewell this year. And then I guess from Fort Wayne area, I had Luke Bricker down from Warsaw. I think he'll be one of him and Carson Gold are going to be, you know, two of their go-to guys this year at Warsaw. And I think Bricker's gotten bigger since last time I seen him, a little bit more athletic. He definitely can shoot it from three, but I think that he's someone who I think we'll see a pretty big jump from this year.
Yeah. Brady Kohler.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
I don't care how many offers he's got right now. He's got quite a few. I think he's going to be that caliber of a kid. Let's review him real quick. If I can remember how to spell his name right out of the gate.
I do too. I mean, I think he's borderline top 10 in that class.
I mean, he's Wake Forest, Indiana State, Furman. Well, let's go in reverse order. Let's go in order of that he received them. Miami of Ohio, Toledo, Valpo, Eastern Michigan, Furman, and then here, I guess, earlier today, Indiana State, Wake Forest. So Wake Forest breaks into the high major level for a kid that has yet to log a significant varsity minute. I've seen this before. We've talked about it. We've compared it to Donald Cloutier. Donald did not have the high major piece that Brady has. Cloutier was a 2005 kid on the Lawrence North three-peat and effectively was viewed at that level as a power forward / backup center to this kid that some of us have heard of, right, Greg Oden. Mm-hmm. But a kid that was more skilled than what he showed and got an opportunity to do, or more skilled than what he was allowed to do at Lawrence North. Coach Kiefer, very much a play-in-your-box sort of coach, especially with that team where everything ran through two or three players. And so Kohler's a kid that's going to come in with more offers than I don't have the analogy. I was going to say minutes per game at the varsity level. There we go. 7 offers. I would be willing to bet he didn't average 7 minutes a game last year at the varsity level. Coach Delaney can DM me, tell me I'm wrong. But I do think last year they felt like he could have contributed more. I think there was, just from observing, I think there was a defensive question issue on where would he play. You know, and obviously Cathedral was a very talented team last year. And he was a kid that clearly was in June leading into last year. So June of 22, he was their best shooter. And I think a lot of us thought, and the time that he got in June, I think even maybe coaching staff thought that he would have a bigger role, but you got to be able to play both ends of the floor at Cathedral. You got to be able to play both ends of the floor on that schedule if you're going to really consistently contribute. And the other thing you do sometimes with kids like that, especially when you got a lot of seniors and they played a lot of seniors last year, is keep him at the JV level and let him play the role that he will play his next 2 years, which is JV games. He was the guy. And a lot of coaches will do that. A lot of coaches will say, if you can't be, you know, if you're not going to be this role for us this year, then we're going to need you to do this for 2 years. Then keep him at the JV level where he got a majority of his minutes and he was relied upon heavily in those games. And now he's coming in. He's going to be relied upon heavily this year with LeBron Goff, with Kennedy. A name we'll probably talk about in a different podcast, Keaton Aldridge, who's a sophomore, I think will be a contributor. I'm sure we'll name him in the next pod, but as well. But I mean, Kohler, Patrick, I don't think you're too far off. If he's not a top 10 kid, he's probably in the mix. It. Yeah, I think he's in the mix.
And Donald was underrated too. He did everything he had to do for Lawrence North back then. He was a real good player for them.
It's funny you say that. I was wondering where you'd go. We had a hell of an AAU coach. So,
Who was that?
Me. Yeah, me. And on that team, we had a lot of college coaches coming to games. So it was, just was 6'7" and long and can shoot and can really, really jump. But Kohler's kind of like that. Really, he's a left-handed version of that. But Kohler's much better off the dribble than what Cloutier was. Cloutier was a kind of a tweener forward.
Yeah, I can see Brady being a real nice, even a three in college. I mean, he could play a two or three easily, and he might grow another inch or two. I mean, he's already a legit 6'7".
Yeah. He's very much a tweener defensively.
Yep.
At the D1 level. And that's something he's going to have to solve. And a lot of that is solved by strength. And, you know, if he reminds me a little bit. Now, their trajectory maturation wise is different, but he really reminds me a lot of Tate Hall, who went on, started at University of Indianapolis and ended up having a good career at Loyola Chicago. So, just 6'7" and super skilled and, you know, an excellent shooter. And if Brady is nothing but a stretch, you know, a player who provides space on a floor at the college level,
that's
still a chance to have a good career.
Yeah. Everyone's looking for that.
Absolutely. And if he's more than that, then he'll be fine, but he is definitely a high major shooter. He's got a lot of length. And so the rest of it will be, what happens to his body physically and how that translates the defensive end of the floor. Patrick, kind of your turn.
All right. I'm going to go up into your area now for a little bit. I hope I don't steal one from you, but I'm going to go for the big kid at Ben Davis, Caleb Milan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's coming in to replace, what's his name? Matt.
Zane Doty.
Zane Doty. And, he's coming from was it 1A or 2A, but
2A.
I want to see what Ben Davis can do with him. I mean, he's a 6'10 big. They're going to need him. And I think he's going to play a significant role for them. I think defensively, he's probably a little bit of ahead of his offense right now, but you know, once Ben Davis gets a hold of him, this year he'll be worked in there, and then by senior year, I think he could be a real nice piece for them, and he could get some college attention pretty soon.
Interesting thing with him, we spoke with Coach Carlisle this June or this past June, and he had spoke then. It was after June, but he spoke then about how the speed of the game was challenging to him right now. And I think that's not going to get answered necessarily until they start playing games. But he's a welcome addition for a team that lost a lot of talent, including probably the most impactful defender in the state, Zane Doty. And Doughty. I keep calling him Doty. Zane Doughty. Just as anxious to see what kind of freshman year Zane has at Ball State. So.
Probably pretty good.
Yeah, perhaps. He's glad he's healthy. Some people didn't know that Really, most didn't know. I assume it's okay to talk about it now. He played most of the second half of last season with a stress fracture in his back and didn't really say much about it until March, and then definitely wasn't going to tell anybody about it until well after the state tournament was over. And so he got it taken care of during the summer. So
was it his back? I thought it was his foot or something. No,
it was something.
I don't know.
I thought it was his back.
He was in a boot at something event, some okay, so all-star maybe event maybe or something.
Was his foot. There we go. That's fine.
Who cares about accuracy? He's going to be good for Ben.
Who cares about accuracy in journalism? His dad will DM me and tell me I'm an idiot. That's fine. But yeah, he did play with a stress fracture through most of the second half of the year. Kyler?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kedell Brownsburg, transferred in for his junior year from Evansville Harrison. I'm going to go with Josiah Sloss. Really, really impressed with him. Played on Team Teague in the Prep Hoop circuit this year. Long athletic, about 6'5 wing, pretty versatile. I know they would use him in the paint a lot of times too because they didn't have a whole lot of size on that team. But yeah, real versatile defender. Offensively, handles the ball well for his size. Really cover up the defense at times and everything. But I think he could be a guy for them this year. And I think in certain situations, he might be the go-to guy if they needed a bucket or whatever. But I think he's pretty underrated. You know, being down in Evansville could kind of get overlooked a little bit at times. But I think coming up here, and he's going to be in a good system at Brownsburg, I think he could be a true breakout candidate.
After what we just watched in the fall, do you think he'll be a go-to guy?
I don't think I watched Brownsburg.
No, I meant in the fall league with Lomax and Porath and.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought for some reason.
That's not Sloss's fault. I'm just saying those guys.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, in certain situations, I think he could be a matchup problem at times.
I think he'll definitely be a contributor to him defensively. Offensively, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I liked him last year down at Harrison.
Really, really liked him playing for Team Teague. I thought he played well with them.
We got to get dudes like this moving to the north side.
Nope.
All these kids leaving Carmel. That's not true, but we need to get our fair share of transfers. I need to open up that front bedroom and start inviting families to stay here. All right. Dominique, what do you got?
Two, I think, kind of obvious ones, but I guess last year they weren't, you know, the main guys for Carroll, but the twins Truesdale twins going to Lewis, if they're eligible.
I saved them for you.
You know, at Carroll, they were probably, well, some games, you know, they didn't, neither one of them started. Some games one started. But they're definitely going to be the top guys for Lewis. I was just at their workout last week or 2 weeks ago, and they just look, every time I see them, they get better. More athletic, shooting from hitting shots from all over the court, extremely long. They just kind of do everything on the court. The MAC schools are at every workout they have, Ball State, Central Michigan, Western, Ohio. So I think D1 offers are coming for those two. But I think, yeah, if they're eligible, which I think November 10th is when the final hearing is. I thought it was the 10th, but could be wrong.
It's that area.
But yeah, if they're eligible, they're definitely going to be, Lewis is definitely going to be a factor in 2A.
Let me check. What did I see? Oh, shoot. November 14th was the date.
Is it 14th? Okay.
Yeah. And that's published on the IHSA website. That's not.
Right.
That's not anything that's difficult or that's hidden or any sort of, you know, big secret. But yeah, that.
Right.
You know, their situation, we're not going to get into details on it because some of it's personal, but their situation there, I can't I think it's one of those things that maybe once a final ruling comes in, and if it doesn't go against, if it goes, doesn't go in their favor, that maybe we talk about that more. And I just can't imagine they wouldn't be eligible.
Right.
Who knows with some of that. I mean, again, I defend the IHSA quite a bit on certain things, especially because most people complain about the transfer stuff and they approve 93% of the, well, let's say this, 93% of the transfers get full eligibility. How much of that they approve versus how much of that happens via, you know, them being overruled. Those numbers, I doubt they ever publish. But there's just some stuff to me that just seems so much, so common sense, so practical. You know, we go back to the Jaden Brewer thing that seemed to be something we talked about every other week. And in fairness, something I talked about every other week. But this just seems obvious. I don't know why it's even an issue, but oh well. Yeah, I saved them for you.
Good.
They were definitely going to be on there. If it was like, it's like, okay, Dom's not going to make this episode, so I'll talk about these kids here at the end. But glad we got a chance to get them in.
Yep.
I'm going to go 2-for-1 again. Again, same school. Tanner Teschendorf from Mount Vernon. Tyler Davis from Mount Vernon. I think both those guys, as much as we talk about the kids they have in the class of 2026, both those guys are going to be huge for them. I mean, Teschendorf was already, I guess by my standards, not so much a breakout candidate this year because he was definitely a contributor last year. Although he didn't start every game. Well, one of the early games of the year, he did not start, if I remember correctly. But those two guys will definitely be front and center for them, along with sophomores Armani Wells and Juju Smith. That's a pretty potent four underclassmen. I mean, all four of those guys are underclassmen. But Teschendorf, really good outside shooter. He can also play with the basketball. Tyler Davis is improving his game away from the lane, but he's a springy kid with a great motor, 6'6". Decently long, will probably be a little undersized if we're talking from a recruiting perspective, but definitely still going to be super productive as a high school player here the next 2 years. Patrick?
Yep, am I up?
Yeah.
All right. We're going in order. Everybody's doing 2-for-1, so I might as well go 2-for-1 also. Let's one kid I think that will step up this year from Greensburg, Jack McKenzie. 6'1", 6'2". Probably will be one of their leading scorers this year, if not their leading scorer, on a pretty solid Greensburg team. He's a really good shooter, knockdown shooter. I think he could eventually slide into like an NAIA, like a Crossroads League type kid. I think he played for Indiana Ice with Gizzy over the summer. But I think he's somebody that will break out for Greensburg and be one of the better 25s down here in this part of the state. And the second one, I'm going to go with a kid that's he's going to break out even more than he already has, I feel like. I have to mention him. I got to go with a Trey Singleton at Jeffersonville.
And that's I not know a breakout. Everybody,
I know.
Come but on.
There's levels to breakouts.
There's levels to
breakout.
Yep. Sure, I agree with that.
Yep. He was a good player that is going to step up and break out and be a very, very good player on his way to, I think, a P5 offer, a P5 kid. I think he's a Power 5 kid. And I see hints of Trey Kaufman in him. And that's my comparison. Now, I'm not saying he will be or he is, but I see the possibility there for him to step up and be that guy for Jeffersonville. So whether it's allowed or not, I threw him out there.
Well, you can't unsay it, and I'm not going to go back and edit it out.
No.
So that's fine. Any pub we give to Sharon's kids is fine with me.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think that's a breakout guy. I think he's already broken out.
He's going to break out even more.
Jeez.
If Cole Henry's a breakout, Trey Singleton's a breakout.
Yeah, but who's naming those dudes? Not me.
Alex Staley is.
Not Dominique. All right, the rest of this pod's going to be Dominique and me.
Yeah.
I'm with me. I'm going to bed.
We got to get done here so Kyler can participate in the other recording.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. You're going to have to stay up late tonight. Not too long. All right, go finish it off. We'll go a couple more rounds, meaning let's just get through some names a little more quickly. Kyler, you started off.
Yeah, I've just got really one more guy that I had on my list. And he already pretty much started his breakout in the summer, but I'm going to go with Damian King out of Anderson, simply because he's going to come into Anderson this year. They don't have Amir Carson anymore, so I think Damian's going to be relied upon to be their go-to guy a lot more than what he was last year. He had a really good fall league. I mean, he was arguably one of the top players, I think, consistently throughout the week, throughout the month. Just elite strength, athleticism, ability to absorb contact and everything. So really talented player, I think. And I think this will be a big year for him.
Yeah, Dominic, they wanted to name like Kellen Pickett as a breakout player. I mean,
no, none.
I mean, they're like, the best player in the 2A state final game. He's going to have a breakout year.
He can if he went radio silent through the summer. So,
but I do think he's still underrated if you're going to bring him up.
Well, that's true. That's a different pod. We didn't say this is underrated pod. We said this is the breakout pod.
Underrated pod coming soon.
Yeah.
All right, Dominic, before I go, not that I have any huge revelation left over to talk about. I do. There will be some names we got to throw out here after. Throw out some names in North. Throw out some names quickly.
I think a guy who didn't play varsity at all last year that Coach Layton's telling me is going to be his best player at Jimtown, Dylan Fay. He was over at Penn last year.
That's right.
And he's a junior now over at Jimtown. And like I said, Coach Layton's telling me he's going to be, if not their best player, one of their top players. So I'll mention him. His name's Dylan Fay. And then one more I wanted to mention from Danville. I seen him play this summer, Jace Scrafton.
Mm-hmm.
He played up with one of the Team Teague teams, not their I think it was Team Teague Lyles. But I just remember him hitting shots from all over the floor, pretty athletic. Just really like what I see. I only see him play once, but I really like what I saw from him.
Any other we don't have.
Okay, I'll quickly throw out just a couple names real quick.
That's fine.
Yep. A Cole Thomas at South Central, way down south here, right across the river from Louisville.
Elizabeth, yeah.
Yeah. He's a good player, 6'1", 6'2", guard, really good shooter. He's going to average 20-plus with their schedule. I think he's a good player. David Cook over at Christian Academy. I think Joshua Renfro, there's going to be a lot of attention on him. So I think Cook is going to do some things and maybe put up 14 or 15 this year for Christian Academy. And those are two guys I got listed here. I think they're going to break out this year.
I'll save my one guy here for the very last. I think underserved, like, it's kind of hard to – Southwest Indiana is kind of difficult. I don't know that we've represented it all that well right now, especially in this pod, since we've not really mentioned anybody down there. It's tough because you've got someone like Luke Elsperman. I guess based on your guys' definition, he would be the breakout guy because I think he's going to have a bigger year than what he had last year. He's going to have to assume more of a ball handling role than what he did last year with his brother graduating. They still got Tucker Tornada. There will be some shared ball handling ability or usage with Dylan Kendrick, a sophomore, who I'm sure we'll talk about, will be brought up in the 2026 pod that we do here for next week. But he's a kid that can play on the ball. He can play off the ball. And that's valuable at that space. And I think the Sloss kid that Kyler mentioned would have been a kid that from Southwest Indiana that we would have definitely, we've already talked about him here. Two quick names from Central Indiana that I think are going to, we're going to hear a little bit more from. TJ Davidson from Noblesville. He will probably start for them alongside Aaron Fine and be a primary ball handling option for them. I do think Fine will certainly still be their main ball handler, but TJ Davidson is an opportunity for him to, he's going to have a bigger role this year. And then Millen McCartney at Fishers, I think, is a kid that will, he's definitely going to be a kid that gets some shots. And I think he'll be a kid that has he'll have some games for them this year. He's a lot like Kirby in that both those guys were really productive at the JV level last year. But the one guy that I really wanted to throw out there was Malachi Cunningham, 6'5" wing from Decatur Central. Anytime a kid like that plays in our program, I like to disclose that. So that way, we're not just trying to pump our kids up here. But Malachi
he's good. He's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, he's always had such a good motor and values the defensive end of the floor. His outside shot is coming along. I know he's putting in a lot of work with his individual trainer. He's got a chance. The thing with Decatur Central is he is the one guy that's just basketball. So a lot of times Decatur Central, they have a good football program. They got a lot of good athletes that play both sports. They are ugly at the beginning of the year. Damn near every year. And when they've had their good teams, they've hit their stride mid to late December and been super competitive, but they've just never really been able to get over the hump from a basketball perspective. And I feel like if they had a couple more pieces that they would be a threat, but he's going to be a kid that, impacts games. He started impacting games last year and just a super, super hard playing kid. We're just gonna leave Northwest Indiana alone. Basically, if you play at Portage, you probably belong on this list.
We got a couple here from Zach.
Go for it. Do the Zach ones.
Jalen Barbera from Riley. He also had down. He did have a Wellman brother down. Michael Wellman.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael's the obvious one.
Okay.
Michael is the more productive of the two. I'm going to say it this way. Michael, in my mind, is the better prospect of the two, but every time I watch him play, Sam has big games. So Sam needs to, pay for me to come to his games. The Wellman family needs to have me come to their games so Sam can be he's just always played well. And then Garrett Clark, all three of those kids at Portage in the junior class are outstanding. And then they've got the senior, Jalen Johnson. And Portage is kind of a sleeper team from that part of the state this year.
Yeah, I like them right behind Chesterton up there. He also had down Deuce Owens from Marion.
Mishawaka Marion or Marion Indiana?
Yeah, Mishawaka Marion.
Okay.
It looks like he was their 5th leading scorer last year for Marion. And then he also had down Malachi King from Harrison. I don't know if you guys have seen him or not. I haven't.
He's a senior. Wait, which Evansville Harrison, right?
I think it's Harrison.
West Lafayette.
West Lafayette, I think.
Zach's oh. Okay, I'm sorry. What, Kyler?
You said Zach putting Evansville schools on there?
Well, Lafayette Harrison's south of Not Kokomo. It's not. He must have saw Kokomo play Lafayette Harrison.
But yeah, those are some of the names that Zach okay. had that we haven't mentioned.
So those are the names Bethel's recruiting. Those are the sleeper kids Bethel's recruiting. Got it.
Yeah.
Anybody? Did we miss anybody? I mean, Northwest Indiana. I still feel like we've underserved them. I'm looking here real quick.
Not worried about pleasing the state.
Well, I kind of am. It's Courtside, Indiana. It's not Courtside, Indiana, except for.
I don't think you'd categorize Dominique Murphy as a breakout.
No, I would not categorize Dominique Murphy as a breakout. Okay. Although, in fairness to him, I didn't watch him play until this June. I never got a chance to see him play.
Yeah, I didn't see him play until they played Memorial up there at Cromwell.
And he lived up to it. Yeah, he lived up to the billing. All right, I think we got to figure it out.
I got some Northwest Indiana guys for 26, but
we'll get to that.
Not 25.
All right, guys. Well, appreciate it, Patrick. Look forward to joining us on the next pod, which, even though we're not going to publish it till next week, we're going to record here in the next 20 seconds. But Dominique, Kyler, Patrick, appreciate you guys coming on. We will talk again on the next episode.
Yep.